section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
What's up with Ziggler? Is WWE programming that bad? And are pay-per-views changing their time slot? All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Off the Mark, we are the podcast that provides most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So what are our thoughts on Paragon Pro Wrestling that's on Pop TV? What are your thoughts so far on it, Aaron?
So Andy, you had mentioned this to me about how you're getting it in your area, and apparently my TiVo didn't even want to suggest it to me. It was that bad. They were like, look, you know what? We don't want to suggest PPW to you. I've recorded the past few weeks, watched it, and I would tell anyone who is an aspiring wrestler that they need to watch this, and that this is a small step above the high school gyms that you will be wrestling at if you become a pro wrestler.
That is correct.
There are 50 to 100 people there, and it is not going to be WWE. You're not going to have crowds chanting for you. You know, there's not going to be people going crazy. Instead, you're going to be trying to tell a story in the ring to try to get people to like you or hate you, one of the two. And you're going to be working with people that are very green and people that, you know, when you look at them, you go, one of these people has the possibility of, you know, making it to the next stage. And that's really about it.
And that's, you know, that's, it's not sad. It's just they're trying something that Ring of Honor did. But the thing is, Ring of Honor, the fans loved it. It just seemed like people went to these shows and they were like, oh, there's the guy from TNA. Hey, look, there's Gangrel. That's the number one draw. And that's where it kind of stops. I mean, nothing against, you know, PPW. They did sign the big deal to be on Pop TV. Oh, you know, I forgot about Joey Ryan. He's on there as well.
And I like Joey Ryan. I think that you know, he was not used correctly in TNA. He could not make it in WWE, in my opinion, based on his gimmick. And I think that his gimmick is him. You know, he's not an amazing wrestler by any means. He just has a really good gimmick. Jesse Sorensen is probably the only person I look at. And I go, he could probably do something. You know, you have what's his face there? Wes Briscoe. And
oh, that's right.
You take a look at him, and he's got some terrible tattoos on his legs now, by the way, which are just stupid looking. And you look at him, and you go, you know, your TNA is the highest that you'll go, dude. You know, and I hate to say that because he's a Briscoe, but that's just where it is. So Paragon Pro Wrestling, I was less than impressed by them, and I will probably not be watching. I'll watch a couple more, and then I'm going to take it off my DVR.
Yeah, and that's the problem I ran into. I think I have like three stacked up right now. And it was hard to watch it for the, you know, basically the first few episodes. And it's not because it was bad. Well, okay, it was that bad. But the production also was not there. It looks like someone did in basically Premiere Pro or whatever Final Cut for Apple. That's pretty much what I thought of it. You know, you're right. It is basically one step below anything that you see in a high school gymnasium. You know,
it was one step above it.
I wouldn't even say that. In all seriousness, because some of the high school gymnasiums, there's a couple guys that really will work, and there could be 10 people out there, and they're working like if there was, you know, at their biggest show ever.
Yeah, but there's 50 people here, you know.
Well, yeah, but they also like give them the signs like, hey, hold up this sign when this guy comes out. Who? Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much. I mean, there's a thing that's like Secrets of the Ring, I think is what it was called, that was on NBC back a long Exposed Wrestling Secrets, I think is what it was called.
Yeah.
Pretty much they're like, promoters hand signs out. And I was like, yes, that only happens in those shows.
Exactly.
But overall, it's, you know, if you want to check it out, just go ahead and check it out here and there. Paragon Pro Wrestling. It's on Pop TV. Check your local listings, blah, blah, blah. It's on at like 5 a.m. Central time for me. So I don't even remember what it is for you. It's maybe it doesn't matter. Here's something interesting that I'm surprised that they haven't been talking about recently is that, what are your thoughts on pay-per-views? Instead of being at, you know, 8 o'clock Eastern time, maybe putting it at like 6 or even 4.
Yeah, so WWE has been, they actually polled fans at some recent shows, and they were asking them, What do you guys think about having a pay-per-view start at 1 p.m., 3 p.m., 5 p.m., 7 p.m., you know, that sort of thing? And I'm actually very much in favor of this idea because, you know, it's very archaic. They say that 8 o'clock on is prime time for television, you know, and it is for a lot of older people. So East Coast and West Coast, the primetime shows come on at 8 o'clock at night. So it's 8 to 11, right? So you have the 3-hour block there, right? And that's when major football, you know, Monday Night Football starts at 8 o'clock on the East Coast. It's 5 o'clock on the West Coast. You know, pay-per-view start at 8. And I've always thought that was pretty archaic. Now, Central Time, it's at 7. And Mountain Time, typically it's 7 o'clock there as well. So they actually have an hour delay from when you're seeing it. But pay-per-views, I really feel that a Sunday pay-per-view, if it starts, let's just say they had a 5 o'clock start time on the East Coast. Now that for me, when I'm on the West Coast, that's, you know, 2 o'clock, right? Which is like, that's pretty early, but I'm used to watching football games at 10 a.m. You know, I have football games that start at 10 a.m., 1 p.m., and then 5 p.m. That's when my football games start. If you tell me a pay-per-view's on it too, that's not that big of a deal to me. You know, it's in the middle of the day. It's not, you know, I just have friends over. I go to a friend's house and I watch the pay-per-view there. I would be very much in favor of them moving the start time of a pay-per-view up just a little bit, whether it's 7 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. I don't care. You know, I'd be in favor of that.
Yeah, and I do agree with you on this. This is something that we need to get into, you know, the reality era where you don't. And now the only issue with this, I'll just throw this out right now, is that you'll have 5 pay-per-views where you'll have an issue with. I mean, when you look at it, September, October, November, December, and January's pay-per-view. Most likely, you'll have an issue with because of football, because most people are going to watch football. Actually, I take that back. Royal Rumble doesn't matter because they usually schedule that in between the Super Bowl and the championship games. So you have four that you're going to have to deal with. But realistically, how many fans are hardcore football fans, you know, and hardcore wrestling fans? I don't think there's a lot in between there. But if you say that, hey, there's a break at 6, right? Or 6. Mm-hmm. So let's say.
Yeah, so, well, yeah, and exactly. I think that's what you're trying to get at is on the East Coast, football starts at 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock and then 8 o'clock. And so you have at 7 o'clock, you have a break there. That's where, you know, you have overtime. That's where they do a highlights of the day, you know, and hype for the Sunday night game. So from 7 to 8 o'clock, that's where you have that. In my opinion, if I were WWE, I would have a pay-per-view start at 6 o'clock Eastern, which would be 3 o'clock Pacific. But you start then, and let's just say that there's no good football games on at that time, you know, on the later slots. So, you know, you could then have the possibility of having a really great match at the beginning that really gets people excited. Now, there are people there. There's going to be some crossover. But if my team's not playing, I may not care, you know, and I may want to see that instead. And then if Sunday Night Football's on, if I know that my pay-per-view has started earlier, I could then watch the pay-per-view, see the main event, switch over to football, and see the final two quarters. And I would be more okay with that. I actually think that's a way better idea. So I would say 6 or 7 Eastern Standard Time is when I would start the pay-per-views for those months.
And that's something you're going to have to get fans accustomed to, because if you're going to change it, you can't change it like, oh, this month it's going to be at this time, but then in this month it's going to be at this time. You need to have a consistent where if you're going to have all your pay-per-views start, you know, at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, then that's fine. But I believe that even bring it, you know, start 2 hours earlier. So whatever time the pay-per-view starts for you, have it 2 hours earlier, because let's just say the afternoon games stink. Let's just say that. I mean, there's a lot of times where those, you know, the 4 o'clock games just stink and you don't want to watch them. Well, if I have an opportunity to watch a pay-per-view, I would then at that time switch. Or if they even had, like, I don't know, if they said, like, so this is the other thing, I would almost say, like, well, here's what your fantasy team would be doing if you're watching that stuff, but let's watch something.
No.
I know it's wrong, but.
Well, here's the thing. The afternoon games, and I don't want to belabor the point too much. Afternoon games are typically for West Coast teams. The two best West Coast teams are the Seattle Seahawks and the Denver Broncos. The other West Coast teams are not that good. They may have a loyal fan base, but they're not that good. So you know what? You're not going to really upset that many people on the West Coast. And everyone else has already played pretty much, except for maybe one game where, so you know what? The Patriots, any New York team, all those play at the 1 o'clock time the 1 o'clock Eastern time, you know? So guess what? Those games are over. You can start the pay-per-view and you're going to get your big markets. And that's why I would do that. So anyway, Andy, let's move on to WWE programming for this week. We have not talked about this because I haven't really cared that much, but they have really been pushing this. So Andy, what do you think about the Lana Ziggler Rusev Summer Rae storyline? This has kind of gotten heated up over the past couple of weeks. What are your thoughts on it?
This is one of those things where you can tell it was going to come because they did all this stuff with Ziggler and Summer Rae a while back, and then all of a sudden nothing really happened, and then Ziggler and Lana were together, then Summer and Rusev became together. You knew that they were going to throw this out at us. This is one of those things where I think it's actually gotten better, but it's also the whole thing with Ziggler supposedly coming on to Lana or Summer Rae. You know, there's a lot of things going on, especially I think with Cosby and now with Kane. I just have a problem where, you know, is this something that's great for the Attitude Era, but maybe not in the Reality Era?
What did Kane do?
The whole thing with the allegations with Kane, with Patrick.
I
should have said
because there's
the
a
hockey
wrestler
player
named Kane, and we're on a wrestling podcast.
I meant the hockey player Patrick Kane.
So I all right, take that stuff out of it because I don't think that really has a big place necessarily in the storyline. Lana and Rusev. I mean, is this really just Lana and Rusev's storyline, and they happen to throw the, you know, Ziggler and Summer Rae in there? Is that kind of
yeah?
What
and I think
it?
What's going to end up happening is that Lana will end up turning back heel, and then Summer will stay with them. It'll be Summer and Lana and Rusev against, you know, Ziggler, and you could probably throw someone in with Ziggler. We'll just say Charlotte, you know, at some point. I don't know. I mean,
she needs to get married again, so that makes sense.
Oh, man. 16 times. Yeah, I mean, you could do something like that. This is a confusing storyline sometimes, but it's also, they're pushing the crap out of it. It's like, I don't even remember how many segments there were because for some reason my recording stopped halfway through. But all they did was push it. Even in the pre-show, they pushed it and pushed it. It's like, come on. Jeez.
So what I will say about this, I really feel that this is just Rusev and Lana, that this is WWE's way of pushing Lana down our throat, trying to make us be more sympathetic for her and for her character. And honestly, I don't really care that much. I really don't. I do understand why they think that she could be the face of the WWE, like the woman's face. I get that because she is, you know, very attractive. And I think that when she gets rid of her stupid Russian accent, that she's going to be able to work a crowd even better, you know, with an American accent. I think she can work a crowd really well as a heel or as a face. And so I get that. I get why they think that. But they need to come up with a better storyline for her, and a woman scorned storyline for me is not that interesting, you know, and I think it's just because I don't care that much. I just don't. And Ziggler has just been thrown in there, and this is, I think, a step down for him from other things that he's been doing. I think that they could interject him in more interesting storylines. They could have him maybe go for the IC title or maybe go for the US title, you know, things like that. That's where I would rather see him as opposed to with Lana, who is... And, you know, I think that he's the stepping stone for her as opposed to this is something that's going to elevate everybody.
Yeah. Do you think, though, with Lana getting hurt, it's going to hurt things altogether for her?
No, because all she's been doing is catfight moves. And, you know, she got hurt. She hurt her wrist. They were probably gearing up to have a mixed tag match where, you know, if you tag in the woman, the other woman has to be tagged in. That's probably what they were gearing up for. So they were trying to teach her some moves because as of, you know, she's really just been a valet and, you know, learned the very, very basics. I don't think that she's done any, I don't think she's had a wrestling match. You know, to my knowledge, she hasn't. She's just been a valet. So I think that this might push that back. The downside is then that means that we're probably going to see this soap opera thing go on for the next 2 months.
That's brutal.
That means that Ziggler right now is my early favorite for Fall from Grace wrestler of the year.
Oh, man. Oh, that stinks. Again, for what, the fifth year in a row?
Yeah.
On his contract year? Well, I guess he already signed it, supposedly, but oh, well. Dude, the Divas Revolution, it was there, and now it's not. I think that they missed the boat on this. I think the fact that they... Did you know something also that they recently started doing? When you beat the record, not when you beat AJ Lee's record, but when you beat the record. Have you noticed they changed that, which I found interesting? Because even though they own AJ Lee, that name, mm-hmm. everyone knows who AJ Lee is. It's not like you can bring a fake AJ Lee in.
Yeah, but, you know, they have said AJ Lee, you know, to beat AJ Lee's record, you know, they've been talking about that. So. I get that. I understand that. But the Divas Revolution, the whole point is, and that's the thing that they don't understand. Divas Revolution was women who could actually wrestle. And so on NXT at the time, you had Charlotte, Becky Lynch, Bayley, Paige, Sasha Banks. You know, you had those five women there who were just kicking butt. And then Paige got called up because, you know, they need somebody to take the title from AJ so she could take time off. And Paige, you know, did well, you know, well enough for her time there. And then it was her and AJ Lee were the feud for the longest time. And then AJ Lee really helped kind of spark the Divas Revolution a little bit more by saying, look, you know, we need more time on here and you need to pay us, you know, what we're worth, you know. And she ended up leaving. So you call up these women. Those women can wrestle. The Bellas are, when they say, oh, we're the Divas Revolution. No, you're not. A revolution is something new. You didn't have, you know, Great Britain in 1776 saying, we're going to start a revolution against you Americans. That never happened. All right. That did not happen. Instead, it was the upstarts who started a revolution. So Becky Lynch, Charlotte, and Sasha Banks are the revolution because they're brand new. And so I think that the Divas Revolution has actually stopped. I think it has faltered. Because you don't have all of these women saying, I want that Divas title. You don't have that. Instead, you had, you know, the three women of PCB go saying, oh, we're going to have a beat the clock challenge for that title. And then we're going to, you know, wrestle next week on Raw. And I get that. That's fine. But they weren't clamoring for it. You know, Sasha Banks isn't clamoring for it. She's not saying, I deserve a title shot. You know, you don't have that. And so I think the Divas Revolution, it sounded great. Guess what? It failed miserably.
And this is something that WWE did, not the Divas, but the WWE did. And I'm just wondering, it's because they're like, let's have Nikki. She can have the record because she's going to be around since she's going to be with John Cena, blah, blah, blah. OK, that's great. But AJ Lee really is the one who wrestled. They didn't keep doing mixed tag matches, which I would find hilarious if Charlotte brought up in a promo. Say, oh, by the way, how come you didn't wrestle on this and you didn't wrestle on this? You had to do a mixed tag. And when was the last time you actually defended the title?
There were some stats done. I guess her and AJ actually had similar defenses, similar number of defenses. But Nikki's defenses were like just throwaways. Like it wasn't a, hey, you're going to defend the title at the pay-per-view. You know, she had the title at WrestleMania. And she didn't defend it, you know. Instead, it was AJ Lee and Paige against her and her sister. She didn't defend the title. I think the next pay-per-view, I don't know if she even defended it there, you know. Maybe she did. And then I if I remember correctly, she has not defended the title in like 70 to 80 days. So I mean, what's that say? That says that the title's not that important then, you know, because that's not the world title. That's not like when Brock Lesnar held the world title, when it was a special attraction to see him defend the title. Now, I, you know, of course, think that his absence from Night of Champions to Royal Rumble was way too long. But, you know, if it was every 2 months he defended the title, that's a big deal because that's the world title. And only 2 months that's going to happen. No one's saying that about the women's title. No one's saying that about the Divas title, you know. It's only for the major title. So anyway, I think that the Divas Revolution has, unfortunately, at this point in time, failed.
You know, I'm sick of the fails of fans jumping in the ring. I'm just going to say this right now. If you're at an event, do not jump over the barricades. You're going to get arrested. You're going to be banned from all WWE events, and you're going to look like an idiot. I'm going to throw that out there right now. Because this, something happened with Rollins. I mean, you know, his run so far has improved a little bit since he won the title at WrestleMania. It's improving. I'm surprised that he did not jack the fan that stood next to him, because that would have been hilarious to me. And the fact that security didn't do anything. But
I think the kid looked like he was maybe not all there. And I think that's the best way to say it, because the kid just started walking with Rollins. Rollins assessed the situation and just kept walking. You know, it wasn't like the kid was trying to bum rush him. I will say, if your son is in a high school play, do you jump the stage to get on there? No, you don't. You don't. It's a play.
What I was getting at is, do you think that if he hit him with the championship belt and he cut him open, do you think that he'd be like, oh, there's blood everywhere, and they cut the black and white?
Maybe. No, because they took the focus off the kid immediately. So,
right.
You mentioned Seth Rollins' title reign. So to start off with, I think his title reign was terrible. I think that they did not do a whole lot with him. And it hasn't been until the last 3 months that they've actually made his title reign feel important. I think it was directly after the Ambrose ladder match that they had started really pushing him and saying, okay, this is a real title reign now. And he had his match against Cena, which has been pretty big. He's going to have his match against Sting, which is huge. Although, you know, how does somebody with a 100% losing streak get the title match? I don't quite get, but you know, who knows? But I think that his reign now is actually going to go down better than what it originally would have had he lost the title to Ambrose, let's say. I think that then his title reign would have been one of the worst in history, and I think now it's probably going to be more of the mid-tier.
I wonder if we can give an award out to best or worst at first, but then, you know, like the first half of his title run stunk, but then the second half was really good. Like, I wonder if we can give an award out for that, or if we can find research out.
Maybe.
But yeah, but I'm happy with the run now. I don't know if this is the time that you take the title off him, but I guess now they brought up Sheamus again on Raw. So what's to say that, hey, Sting does win and he's a WWE champion for 2 seconds, and then Sheamus, you know, wins the title off Sting, which I think would be a bigger deal.
I don't think that they will do that necessarily. I still think that Sting is going to win. I think that, this is a great opportunity to have Sting with the WWE title. If he loses here, what are they going to do with Sting? He's going to be 0-2 in the WWE, you know? I mean, he's not going to have... Sting is a special attraction. So Sting isn't going to have a bunch more matches that he's going to all of a sudden win, you know? I think that Sting wins this one. Maybe he, you know, has another match, maybe even on Raw, you know, and then he wins those. But I think that Sting is going to win still.
All right. So the New Day's place in WWE right now is at a weird one, I think, because they are your champions, but now you have more tag teams. I mean, they just had Edge and Christian on, and they weren't wrestling, of course, but they were just kind of there. And then you had, of course, the Dudleys make an appearance as well. Mm-hmm. Do you think that something's going to happen now?
What do you mean?
The New Day, they are great. Don't get me wrong. They are great. But I guess my problem is that you had primetime players who I thought were doing great. I thought that they were going to be one of the better tag teams. Their promos behind the scenes were awesome, and then they stopped. Do you think they're going to do that with the New Day? They're just going to be like, they're going to turn the faucet off. They're like, we're not going to showcase anymore.
I do not.
Really?
And here's why. The New Day were in the main event of this past Monday's Raw.
So it's primetime players.
Yes. Only because of the New Day, though. The New Day were in the main event because they are entertaining. Xavier Woods did, on the trombone, the Final Fantasy victory theme. That was amazing. The moment he did that, I go, I know that. I totally know that. Oh my God. I love him right now. Consequences Creed, you are amazing. And the stuff he was doing on the outside, it was funny, but it also was starting to get a little irritating, which is a good thing, not a bad thing. Not like irritating in the like, dude, you know, you suck. It was in the like, oh my God, I kind of want somebody to kick you in the face a little bit. I like you, but I kind of want that to get you to shut up, you know, that sort of thing. But I think that New Day is actually, I think that they're doing the right thing with them. They're getting a reaction no matter what they do. So let them continue to get that reaction.
Yeah. And the Trump own thing, I'm wondering why they came up with it. Like, we're like, hey, let's just, there's a trombone. You know what? I think I can play this. Yeah, let's just do this. You know, and the Final Fantasy thing, I did not get that until you just said it to me. That's pretty funny. Do. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, good. They're doing a great job. And, you know, I guess sometimes the things that you find funny, eventually some people will find it. And he got the nerd fans definitely involved there. And of course, all the gamers. So
yeah, among other people too, you know. But I think that New Day, I think that they are going to continue down this path until they don't get a reaction. The thing here, though, too, is that these three are good together and not apart. I think that Big E could do an okay singles run, maybe. Kofi has already reached his limit, in my opinion. He'll never be a world champion. But as a tag team wrestler, and in particular in the New Day, he's perfect. He is absolutely perfect. And Xavier Woods is an amazing manager. He is phenomenal. And I think that they, if they continue down this path with Xavier Woods, then they're going to be in line for some money.
All right. So let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster, or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs of a free zip builder, and hands-on the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code off the mark, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 6's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top, say big, on items from WWEshop.com. So Brian Alvarez said something. He said that WWE fans today are conditioned to bad TV. So when something mediocre is present, this is awesome chance breakout. What are your thoughts on that, Aaron?
So I have gone on record saying I don't like Brian Alvarez. I really don't. I feel that a lot of stuff he says is for clickbait. It's just to get people to talk about him. That's the way I feel. I really do. And it's sad because we're going to be talking about him right now, because what he said is, I think, thought-provoking. And that's why I wanted to talk about it. We're conditioned to bad TV. We have 5 hours of major WWE programming. 3 on Raw, 2 on SmackDown. We have Main Event. I don't know. Is even Superstars around or any of that stuff? I don't even know if it is.
It is.
Is it, Andy?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's 2 more hours. So you have now 7 hours of WWE main roster programming on in a given week. In those 7 hours, how many great matches would you say you're going to see?
3 or 4. Best case scenario.
All right. I would agree. I would disagree. I would say you're going to see 1 or 2. I think you're going to see in the 9 or 7 hours. Sorry, I'm stuck on 9 for some reason. In those 7 hours, you are going to see, I think, 2. At most, you're going to see 3 good matches without a pay-per-view. Instead, I think that the Raws and the SmackDowns are going to be formulaic. They're not going to be anything entertaining, you know, or anything special. You know, on Raw this past Monday, I think that the best match was actually the 6-man tag with New Day. I think that's what it was. And then on SmackDown, we had a lot of just, you know, repeats. You know, even on Raw, there were repeats, you know. So what are your thoughts? I mean, what do you think about what he said? Do you think that we're conditioned to bad TV?
I think it's because at one point, no matter what WWE did, it was good. But I think, okay, there are certain TV shows out there that are an hour long. Here's the best example I can think of. Kids, don't watch this unless without your parents' permission. But the show Daredevil, Marvel's Daredevil on Netflix. Great. Great writing. And of all the 13 episodes, there was one that was a filler. But so that's 13. We'll just round it up. 13 hours. And of those 13 hours, only one was bad. And that was for basically an entire year. So that's what they had to put out. With WWE programming, let's say, okay, so they had put out, we'll just say on an average with, you know, averaging a pay-per-view, you know, you're talking 8 hours of wrestling, you know, a week. And there's 52 weeks in a year, so let me do my math. You're talking 416 hours worth of TV that they have to put out a year, okay? And that's just me rounding some things up. And plus, they'll have specials. All right. So we'll just say, you know, we'll even go on a limb. You'll just say 400 hours. That's what they have to write for. How much of that 400 hours are going to be good? Well, if you get 1%, that's good. But with certain TV shows now, you're getting, you know, you're talking a success rate of over 90%. And I would rather have a TV show that, you know, you have that small time span, and then it's great TV. But I guess you get to the point of, oh, great, this is going on. Oh, great, this is going on. Fast forward. Oh, that was pretty cool. Oh, wow, that was great. This is awesome. We're going to start chanting. At some point, you're going to be like, oh, I'm so fed up with this. And it's almost they dumb you down because they weren't competing with anyone. And now with them, really, the only competition, arguably, is Ring of Honor. I mean, there's no other way to say that. And even if you want to go onto a limb, NXT is competing with WWE if you want to go on a limb. And they're 1 hour a week.
Mm-hmm.
Opposed to the 7 that they put out. And that's not even including the other syndication programs, bottom line, that they put out as well. By the way, that's still going on.
So I totally get what you're saying here. So WWE has said, oh, we're not competing with other wrestling promotions. We're competing with all other entertainment. Okay, if that is true, let's just say it is. They're competing with Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones puts out 10 episodes a year. And these are 10 very compelling episodes. Game of Thrones isn't just must-see, it's can't-miss television. You know, I'm using a line from Paul Heyman here. It is can't-miss. So you have to see Game of Thrones. You have to see it the night it happens. Walking Dead, very similar. You have to see it. You know, Mr. Robot, a USA show that came out this year, very compelling, was tremendous. It was phenomenal. And that was you have to see this. Now, there's obviously a lot of other shows that maybe people like that, you know, you have a small subset. You have shows like maybe like a Bones or CSI or NCIS, like those types of shows, right? Those aren't necessarily can't miss. Those are people who typically watch those shows are doing it out of habit. And that's almost how it is right now with Raw and SmackDown. Raw and SmackDown are almost out of habit. In fact, on this past SmackDown and the SmackDowns before it, no storyline got advanced. And that's something that I've noticed, and this is one of the reasons why when we talk, we don't really talk about SmackDown anymore. Because on SmackDown, you're seeing repeats. Oh, guess what? You saw Ambrose and Reigns take on the Wyatt family? Oh, cool. We're going to have you watch it again on SmackDown because you guys liked it so much on Raw. Well, why do I want to see that? I want to see something new, something different. Why not see Ambrose take on Bray in the main event? That's kind of cool. Oh, but we're going to save that for the pay-per-view. Okay, that's fine. But I don't want to see this match then with, you know, Ambrose taking on Luke Harper for the 50 millionth time. I just don't. And that's the issue that we're seeing here. You know, we saw Sheamus take on Randy Orton on Raw this past Monday for the who knows how many times. They took each other on pay-per-views. They took each other on Raw and SmackDown. I think they might be even scheduled for Night of Champions, which makes no sense. It's honestly, it is very, very stupid. And now Raw is not can't miss. It's not must see. It's if you're not doing anything Monday night, why don't you tune in? Watch a little bit of wrestling.
Yeah, and that's what keeps happening now. But I think, you know, you can almost say that maybe some TV shows out there are that bad that when we get one that's mediocre, that's when it's good. You could say that about Game of Thrones. You could say that about Mr. Robot. You could say the same thing. So depending on how you look at this argument, he could be dead on or he could be completely wrong. Or he could just say entertainment, you know, out there now. That's just how it is.
You know, and he could, you know, if you look at other TV shows, Game of Thrones, Mr. Robot, like those types of shows, for the most part, you have 10 great episodes and that's it. You don't really have fillers. You don't have a bad episode. The worst episode there is still a really good episode. I used to watch Bones way back in the day, but then it just got way too formulaic and stupid. But there was, a given season, it might be 20 episodes, 25 episodes. And yeah, there might be an episode that you watch and you go, oh my God, that was amazing. That was such a good episode. But then it might only be good because all the other episodes were terrible, And so I totally get what you're saying. And it might be that way with wrestling too. You know, if you look on and take a look at the card for this past Monday, Thursday for SmackDown, more than likely, you're only going to see one or two matches that you would say, just looking at who's taking each other on, you would say, I want to see that. You're not going to want to see Orton and Sheamus again. Rollins took on Ryback. That's a maybe. You may want to see that. Sasha Banks took on Paige. Was not a very good match. So realistically, the six-man tag, which I typically hate six-man tags. I'm going to throw that out there. I always hate them unless it's an actual three-man team. Then I like them. And so we got to see New Day and Seth Rollins take on Cena and Primetime Players. And I was thoroughly entertained by that match. I actually watched it. That is one I would say, yes, you should see it. And the only time I would have chanted, this is awesome, is for Xavier Woods. That's the only time I would have chanted it. There were no crazy moves that happened. It was actually very good, very by the books, at the beginning with Big E and John Cena. But that's it. That's the thing. That match was good. Cesaro and Miz, that was fun. That was entertaining. But is that a must-see? No. So realistically, the best match this week was a six-man tag, the main event of Raw.
And that's sad to say. No matter how you look at it, it is sad that that's what we have to say.
I almost wonder if that's something that we should do. Do what Alvarez said. And, it's like we're conditioned for bad TV that when something mediocre, this is awesome breaks out. And that's the thing. Like, the best match this week for wrestling was a six-man tag that didn't do anything,
That's true. Well, maybe that's something. What is the best? Let's just, real quick, what is the best TV show in the last 10 years?
Breaking Bad.
Can you pick another one?
Game of Thrones.
Never mind then. I was trying to make a point because, Breaking Bad, writing on it was really good, but at that time, was there a bunch of really good shows out there that were written real well? Because the premise of that is basically he has cancer and he is a meth dealer. Mm-hmm. And it's really not about the meth. It's about the writing. And that's, I guess, because when I talk about Breaking Bad, I always forget about the meth part. I'm like, oh, that's right. He becomes a meth kingpin, basically. Mm-hmm. That is the second part of it. It's the, wow, the writing was so good. And the acting, both lead actors, they were like awesome. And then you talk about, then the meth.
Dexter was really great at the beginning, and then it got terrible. And I don't want to turn this into like TV show theater or anything like that, but Dexter was one I would almost equate that to Raw. And it was only 12 episodes a year, so they which I liked. I really liked that because I respected the fact that they didn't just want to stretch it out. Instead, they were telling a story. The story was a season long, and they were going to do it over the span of 12 episodes, and I liked that. But they got to the point where they said, we don't know what to do anymore as the writers. And I feel that WWE, the writers are saying, we don't know what to do right now with Cena. How do we make this guy compelling? What do we do with Rollins? How do we make him good? And they don't know what to do. And I feel like that's kind of what it was for Dexter, And so we had some really terrible seasons. The first two seasons were phenomenal. The fourth one, I think was really great too. So there were good ones in there, but there were terrible ones too. That probably made the other ones really good. And I think that's what Alvarez is saying. And I think that's what it is with WWE right now, is that we have 7 hours of WWE programming in a week, and about 30 minutes of it is good. And then we probably have an hour that's mediocre that we think is good because it's mediocre, because of the other hours that are terrible.
Wow. I guess that's something I'm really going to have to pay attention to more about wrestling for the next few weeks. And then we'll probably have to come back and talk about this a little bit. So. Anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AltamarK86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast, and I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes, and until next time, we'll see you in the ring.